We all want to do this or what?
Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Welcome to the show and to reallibertymedia.com. Join the conversation over at reallibertymedia.com in the chat room there. A lot of people to visit with and learn stuff from. I learn stuff every single day, chatting with people or lurking, watching chats over there. But it's a good place to hang out. A lot of fun stuff to learn over there. And remember, February is donation month, so if you would, please come to Real Liberty Media, make a donation. That would be awesome. Keeps us going. Funds the site. And, man, another unbelievable day here in Sheridan, Oregon. It's beautiful, sunny, blue sky, and warm in the sunshine. Kind of cold in the shadows, but pretty warm in the sun. Let's see. No, it's not 69. It's got to be 60. But it is beautiful out there, that's for sure. Let's see. Crazy stuff happening this week with the convoy truckers. I'm going to address that kind of in the fourth segment of the show, kind of later in the show. I wanted to talk about a few other things. We got the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. Whether you're a fan of one of the teams or not, maybe you don't even like sports, but I do love the NFL, mostly. And, you know, we always make it a spectacle here at the house, at the homestead. We invite people over. We have a gigantic spread. And let me see what we're doing this year. I don't know, honestly. I do. This is kind of crazy. We've been having one of the grandkids' friends kind of hanging out for the week, and their mom dropped off this giant slab of meat. I'm not kidding, it's ginormous. And I think she said it was like New York or something, whatever. It's just a giant slab of meat. So we cut up a bunch of steaks. We're going to grill those tomorrow. We're going to have some seafood. We're going to have the regular snacks like cheese and sausage and some peppers, olives, some celery sticks and carrots, vegetables, mini peppers. And, there's this white chicken chili thing that Crystal made earlier this week. We're going to put that on. And just like a ton of stuff, you know. Oh, yeah, and we have Valentine's cookies, actually sugar cookies. It's kind of a kit with the frosting and stuff. So we're going to make Valentine cookies for, you know, work and stuff. Anyway, have some activities. Because if you don't know this, the Super Bowl festivities on Sunday literally go all day long. I am not kidding about that. Probably, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning, no, 9 maybe, the game doesn't even start till 3:30 in the afternoon or 4, maybe even 5. I don't even know. But it's like an all-day affair, and we put it on, and nice. Yeah, come on, Rob Works. I was hoping Cowboy Tech would show up. I hope he does. You never know. I invited him. And if he didn't understand I invited him, I'm inviting him now or whenever he hears this. But, yeah, so it's going to be a big deal. It'll be a lot of fun, mainly because our team isn't in the Super Bowl. We're going to be watching the commercials, which we always do, by the way. We actually have kind of a whiteboard. And when the commercials come on, we kind of call for silence and listen to the commercials and watch them. And then we rank them to see which commercials we think were the best or worst or funniest or, you know, most kind of heartwarming or whatever. And, of course, there's a lot of commercials that are promoting whatever agenda, and those don't get scored. They just get dumped. which is fine. I have some funny stuff to tell you guys this week. Let me make sure I got... Oh, I did hear that that there was some fear that the truckers were going to interfere with the Super Bowl, and I was thinking to myself, I really don't think they will do that, because it would piss people off kind of in the wrong way. Like, you want to make a statement, but you want to make a statement to the people who have caused all this disaster over the last 2 years. And blocking the Super Bowl or interfering with the Super Bowl is just going to piss people off who are just trying to go have a good time, enjoy their game, and get away from all this stuff for a change. And I think the people that go to the Super Bowl would be actually the blue collar workers, but that's not true. I mean, tickets are like $5,000 or $6,000, parking's like $600, so probably not true. It's not going to be a stadium full of blue collar workers, I don't think. The common man, everyday guy who loves NFL all year long. Yeah, we pretty much don't get to go to those games. Who could afford it? I mean, I'm sure people could afford it, but I can't imagine ever I would waste my money on a Super Bowl, ever. And I wouldn't even honestly say I have that kind of money to waste, because I would have to have a lot of money to think that would be something I would spend my money on. I don't know what your level. I know there's some people that would go into debt to go to a Super Bowl game if their team was going to be in it. Not me. Nope. Rather watch it at home anyway. Be a lot more fun. All right. So I'm using a new format this week. I don't know why. I just decided to kind of develop a format for the show. And I'm going to try it out this week and see what you guys think. So this week on the homestead, basically, we planted some new trees, and we put in, I asked Crystal this morning how many trees we put in, and she gave me a rundown, and I've kind of forgotten, which that'll teach me not to write it down. But we either put in 8 or 12 new blueberry bushes, different varieties. I think she said we put in 8, which gives us 12. But that's kind of weird, because I think we had 6 before. It doesn't matter. We put in a crap ton new blueberry bushes in a specific area where we keep all our blueberries. And I'm kind of excited about seeing those develop. And, just on the bushes we had plenty of blueberries from. We've been so fortunate. Like, I wouldn't say, me specifically, I am not the gardener, tender, whatever guy. My wife and Crystal are really good at that stuff, and they kind of figure out what we're going to have, and they put it in the ground. And, I kind of do some harvesting and some trimming and more of the maintenance, I guess, and they make sure that the stuff gets watered correctly and any nutrients get added when they need to be added and all that stuff. But So anyway, I'm looking forward to the results of having those put in. And then we put in 2 almond trees and 2 or 3 peach trees and a pear tree. Cause remember last year I lost that one pear tree. God, that was a bummer. Had like 54 pears on it. It was like its third year, I think. But, there's an episode I talked about losing that pear tree earlier, cause it was stupid. It was just stupid. We knew, we could see it was overladen with fruit. And anyway, you can listen to that episode. But the bottom line is, lost a pear tree last year. So we put one in and 2 additional peach trees and some almond trees, 2 almond trees and blueberries. So that's kind of cool. Which kind of made me think about... this time of year, what we do around the homestead to kind of promote future growth. And that is trimming. It's trimming time, especially like right now when there is so much nice weather, like it's not raining and it's not freezing and the sun is out and it's kind of nice to get outside. I took a day off earlier this week because I didn't feel like going to work. I just didn't feel it. I mean, I had some issues going on and I just didn't want to go. And so I stayed home, and it was one of those days that was just sunny, blue sky, warm. It was nice to be outside and just kind of soak up the sun and trim some trees. So we trimmed a bunch of trees, and the reason you trim trees is to promote like healthier growth and to kind of divert more energy to the, you know, fruit that's going to come on this year. And believe me, if you don't trim a tree for a year or two, man, you just end up, I mean, you'll still get fruit, you know, you'll still get probably plenty of food to harvest, but not as much and not as healthy. And it gets harder to harvest. For example, we have a cherry tree right at the end of the driveway. This is a big old cherry tree. I have no idea how old it is. It's been here the 20-something years that we've lived here. And that thing just keeps giving. It's just an awesome tree. But there was a year that went by that we didn't trim it. And I don't know, maybe we weren't thinking about like harvesting cherries so much. And for whatever reason, we neglected that tree. And then I think, you know, by the time we got around to it, it was horrendous to try and trim out this kind of tangled mess of branches. And, you know, when we wanted to harvest the cherries, I mean, it was really hard to kind of get through all the branches to get to the cherries. I mean, there'd be a lot of low-hanging fruit, but, you know, a lot of the fruit that is the, you know... Oh, that was a little chime to keep me on time. But a lot of the fruit that you want to harvest isn't on the low-hanging branches, and you have to get up in there and get it. And if you have to fight through a bunch of branches, you know, it's kind of a hassle. So this time of year, we trim the trees, and we cut, you know, and it's kind of one of those times that it's one of those chores that really kind of freaks me out a little bit, because I really cut back the trees a lot. In fact, sometimes we've taken a tree all the way almost, you know, straight to just a trunk and topped it and kind of let it start over. And that kind of hurts because, you know, it's going to be a year or two before you start getting a lot of production off it. But it is a lot of times the best thing you can do for a tree. And that tree in particular, because it's right at the end of the driveway, of course, when I come home in August after work and park the truck, I just walk over the tree and pick some cherries and have a handful of cherries, and they're delicious. So, but one of the things that we try and do, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to trim a tree. One thing is you want to trim it, you know, to produce more fruit. So you just trim off a bunch of the like last year's growth, like the little spindly branches, you cut them off. And if you notice like there's some new vertical growth, sometimes you want to take that off too. In fact, a lot of times on fruit trees, you want to take that off because you don't want your fruit so high up that you can't harvest it. That's why you see a lot of trees in orchards are all not very dang tall, because they want to harvest all the fruit. Of course, in the big operations, I'm sure they have some, you know, machinery to make that happen. But, you know, if you just have a little couple acres or an acre, you got trees on your, you know, lot in the city, you want to keep them manageable. And, you know, and the other thing is when you kind of keep the trees real short, I mean, it's really easy to harvest the fruit. So when the time comes to harvest the fruit, you're not thinking, oh God, I got to go up there in that tree and harvest the fruit. It's like all within reach, or you could get a ladder and get the fruit. So there's a lot of reasons why you trim the trees. So we have a couple trees that are not fruit-bearing trees that we also trim, of course, because, you know, we want to keep them healthy. Like, we don't want branches to come down in a windstorm, or we don't want, you know, an excessive amount of leaves, which we'll get anyway. But so these two trees kind of are in front of the bay windows overlooking the valley. We like to trim those for a couple reasons. Like, visually, we want to trim them so they look nice because we're looking at them all the time. They're right outside these gigantic windows. And the other thing is, we want to trim them so we can see the valley. So sometimes it's not so much, you know, necessarily for the health of the tree, but you can kind of incorporate that in the whole trimming and pruning process is, you know, hey, I've got this tree, you know, it's blocking the view of my driveway, so I'm going to take these lower branches off and then, you know, do some other trimming to make it look symmetrical and nice. But sometimes it's just purely aesthetics. But if you kind of combine that with balancing out the tree, like to promote growth in one direction or another. And I forget exactly how this goes because we just do it like, by looking at it, we kind of figure out, okay, we're gonna take, you know, this main center vertical growth off, and then we'll trim off some horizontal branches to thin it out a little bit. And you know what? Every year it comes back, it fills in nicely, and we still get the shade that we want from the tree. We still have our view, and we still don't have to clean up branches off the roof, well, very often. But it seems like no matter what you do, you're always going to lose a little bit. I call it like nature's pruning when those big windstorms come in and take care of some of the stuff that's weaker on the tree. But, you know, if you have too much of that stuff, it can really be a hassle and really cause you some trouble. Anyway, so this is what that's what we do this time of year around the homestead. Trim the trees, and also all of the shrubbery. Like if you have shrubbery, like in landscaped areas, like we have these grasses. Like every year we got to trim these grasses all the way back to the ground because, yeah, they grow and they look beautiful and they die off. And then they're all, you know, just laying there on the ground dead. The big tall grasses, I mean, you know, like waist-high grasses. I forget what kind they're called. And also this pampas grass. We have a gigantic pampas grass out here that we've had for like 20 years. And yeah, every year we got to take it all the way down to the ground and get rid of all those feathery parts. I forget what they're called. But also all of that stuff just allows you to start fresh. So you get that fresh new growth without a bunch of debris laying on the ground and laying in your garden and in your landscaping. And yeah, it is kind of a hassle to trim everything off and then gather it up. But, you know, luckily we have, you know, we live in an area where you can burn, which we do. And sometimes if you're in the city or something, you got to have a backyard burn, or even sometimes just a fire pit, like if we're sitting around, you know, enjoying company or having a drink or whatever, you can have a little fire pit and just feed it slowly to get rid of all that debris. Or you can compost it, or you can chip it, you know, make little, run it through a chipper and just use it for ground cover, I guess you could call it. I got to get a drink. Oh, so good. So let's see. Yeah, so it's trimming time. That's what I'm getting at. Got a lot of trimming stuff to do. But it'll all pay off. Like every year it pays off. That little apple tree that is like 4 years old, you guys saw how much or heard how much applesauce we made from that thing and still left a few gallons of apples on that tree. You know, and so it just takes a little bit of work, but if you stay ahead of it, it's pretty easy. This year, no. I wanted to tell you guys a couple funny dental stories from this week, man. So, I had this young girl come in. Anyway, I wanted to kind of cover the tree thing because that's what time of year it is. I know in a lot of places, like in the Midwest, it's too freaking cold, freezing cold, solid, you know, snow and ice and stuff. You're not doing that trimming stuff right now. But it'll be soon. I think the groundhog got it wrong this year. I'm not kidding. We've had spring here for a week at least, except for one day. The fog rolled in and it was so flipping cold I couldn't believe it. And then I was thinking, well, it's February. Yeah, it's cold. But most of the other days have just been outstanding. Anyway, I wanted to tell you about a couple dental stories from this week. Mainly because they were just so kind of like off the rails in a way. So I had this young woman come in. She's 20 years old. Like, yeah, I think she was 20. She was glued to her phone, like fixed on her phone, which that's fine. I don't care. As long as you listen to me for a minute so I can get the anesthetic done and then, you know, do whatever it is we're going to do. That's kind of all I care about. But, we were trying to like tell her the importance of the treatment she was going to get. She was going to get this big filling. She had a big cavity that was very close to the pulp, the nerve of the tooth, you know, where she might need a root canal. And if her insurance didn't cover a root canal, you know, it was her choice. She would have to have the tooth extracted. And she goes, oh, I'd probably just have it extracted. And we go, why? You're like 20. Why would you lose this tooth? And she goes, oh, my family, we have two sets of teeth. And my assistant and I kind of look at each other like, huh, interesting, okay. Because I hadn't seen any x-rays lately of somebody with two sets of teeth. So I kind of look at her x-rays again, and I said, Why do you think you have two sets of teeth? And she goes, I don't know how to explain it. I just know, you know, my mom says on my mother's side that, you know, the women all have two sets of teeth. And I look at her x-ray again, and I looked at her and I said, well, whose mouth are they in? Because they're not in your mouth. And I don't know why I was kind of struck to say that. But I thought it was pretty damn funny. You know, it's a dental joke, I guess. But maybe she was actually talking about a set of dentures or something because, you know, maybe your mom does have two sets of teeth. I don't know. But it was kind of crazy. But what really struck me about this person was she was on her way to get married. She was getting married and moving to Texas. So we ended up actually doing a filling for her and everything went fine. But I'm telling you, it was just kind of funny that a young adult doesn't understand their current health condition. Like why you would think you have two sets of teeth. Like on the x-ray, there's no other sets of teeth. Like you're not a shark going to just like roll the next row forward and have, you know, never run out of teeth. You only have so many. And the sad thing is, this young girl, woman didn't have, she only had three cavities. But unfortunately, all three of them were kind of big. And she had all 28 of her adult teeth. So it was really kind of crazy that she didn't give much thought to keeping or losing a tooth. So I thought that was kind of crazy. But the next one was really, I'm not kidding. You know, I've talked a number of times about somebody, some event happening in my office that would that would make me decide to get out of dentistry and just retire. Well, this was one that could have done it, but it actually was making me laugh so hard that it didn't bother me that much. But I had this woman come in, and she was 70-something, so she's 10 years or so older than me. And she was there for an emergency, so I had to evaluate whatever it was her problem was. But, you know, whenever I'm treating people, I'm always trying to make them comfortable, start a conversation with them or whatever. And, of course, a lot of people still wear a mask, you know, till the last minute, and I have to ask them to take their mask off so I can see. And she started a conversation about, you know, yeah, I'm kind of tired of this mask thing. And I'm like, yeah, me too, you know. And she goes, she said, I just wish every, you know, all these pussies would get vaccinated so we could get on with our normal lives. And I'm telling you guys, my head snapped around. I was looking at her because I thought she was kind of screwing with me. And I'm looking at her kind of trying to read the situation. Oh no, she was serious. She was dead serious. And I said, well, you know, normally I don't say anything because number one, there's just so much hassle right now. Like, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. You don't want to start a problem with a patient or some adverse conversation to make them even more uncomfortable. But for some reason, I just wasn't going to let it go. And I said, well, I said, I don't really believe in the vaccine at all myself. I said, as a matter of fact, if anybody makes me get another booster, I haven't had a booster yet. If anybody makes me get another shot, I'm not doing it. I said, I'm just going to call it quits. And then, boy, we started having that conversation about, and I just read her the kind of the riot act about the vaccine. I said, you know, I said the whole thing. It doesn't protect you from getting the virus. It doesn't keep you from giving it to anybody. It doesn't shorten your stay in the hospital because there's no way to... I went on about it. And after my little rant, she says, well, now how she would go to this? She says, well, I'm just glad Biden's taken care of this. Oh, God. I couldn't have kept my mouth shut. Somebody would have literally had to grab a shepherd's hook and pull me out of that operatory because I couldn't stop. Oh, and I didn't talk about how great Trump was. I just went off on how bad they all are. It's crazy. But anyway, fortunately, she didn't have a horrible problem, and we both just kind of decided, you know, we shouldn't talk about this stuff so I could get her treatment done and get her on the way. But, oh my God, man, I could not believe I actually met somebody who believed that stuff, especially out here, you know, in the country. It's just very different. Like, people just want to work. They just want to go to school. They just want to go about their lives, and I think that's probably true in a lot of places, but I don't think it's so much true in the big cities. I think you see this. I mean, I still see it every day on the local news. They have people on who are complaining that it's too early to take the mask off. Hell, Walensky even said from the CDC, you know, we're not there yet. And I'm thinking to myself, who are you? I don't even think you have the qualifications to decide whether we're there yet or not. You know, you were just appointed for whatever reason, which probably had nothing to do with your skills or education, you know, and who's listening to you anymore anyway. So anyway, that was my fun dental week. Let's see what else. Yeah. Oh my God, that was hilarious. Oh, the kids this week. Oh, so I'm glad I didn't kind of forget this. So the kids and grandkids are headed out to They are headed to the coast. They're at the coast today, which, I mean, like by accident, they picked the perfect day to go to the coast, and they're gathering food. And man, I had the greatest conversation with, my patients. Oh yeah, the kids do. Yeah, the kids and the grandkids do. Yeah. Well, if I don't cuss on it, which I try not to, but sometimes I do. I think I said piss already in this episode, but anyway, so they went to the coast because, tides, I think, are favorable. Although where they're going, they don't have to be favorable for crabbing, but they're going to set some crab traps. They are going to look for some mussels. They're going to see if the tide is low enough that they could dig some clams. And they're going to go fishing for perch and, you know, rockfish and who knows what else. And they're just spending the day out there really on a food gathering mission. And I thought that was kind of so awesome that, you know, kind of what Rochelle and I did in our younger years with our kids is kind of carrying on, and that they love to do it so much, and the grandkids actually are getting into it too. And especially one of them, one of them really does want to, Hayden, he really does want to, you know, hunt something, kill it and eat it. So, and I had a kind of this good discussion with him yesterday because they're planning and they're getting all their gear together because they're taking kayaks and they're taking crab rings and they're taking fishing poles and whatever. And I was like, well, you know, this is a great opportunity. I know it's not like with a gun or a bow and arrow, but, you know, you're going and gathering your own food. And there's like nothing more powerful, I don't think, than knowing that you can go gather your own food. It's important to some people. And I mean, and I don't mean going to the grocery store and gathering your own food. I mean, you're going, you know, and taking something out of nature and you're going to eat it. And that's perfect. Dang, I forgot his name. I'll think of his name in a minute. But anyway, it's a great lesson for the kids to learn. And they've done it before, but for some reason this time, it was just kind of fun to talk to them about how important this is and how cool it is. It's not just a recreational activity. It's, you know, you're actually providing you're gathering your own sustenance, and it's a lesson that you can carry on the rest of your life. You know, when things hit the fan and, you know, you got to fend for yourself. Well, you know, you can literally hike to the coast from here. It's 45 miles. It's going to take you a couple days, but you can hike to the coast and you know where food is. And on your way, you can gather up a lot of food between here and there that's edible. There's a ton of food between here and there that's edible that you don't have to waste a lot of energy gathering. So, you know, there's a lot of forest between here and there. There's a lot of pastures between here and there. There's a lot of farms between here and there. You know, there's a lot of gardens between here and there. So, always a good opportunity. And I'm just very proud of the kids and these grandkids actually going and doing it. And it kind of made me think about, I want to cover one other thing before I move on. But I noticed that, I know, it probably doesn't seem very connected. Maybe it isn't. But Oregon actually, no, the federal government is actually putting gray wolves back on the endangered species list. And the reason this became important to me specifically is because in Oregon, the ranchers here have been dealing with gray wolves since we reintroduced them into Yellowstone and into the West back in 95, I think it was. And, you know, I remember thinking even then, this is not a good idea. You know, there is a reason why we killed them all in the first place when we were coming across the plains and, you know, into the mountains and settling the West. there was obviously a reason why we killed all the gray wolves, and it's pretty obvious that they interfere with the production of food. You know, and so you can make an argument that, you know, well, we got to have gray wolves, they're important, and I know that there's some, probably some importance to Native Americans. Some of them probably hold the wolf in high esteem or, you know, whatever. So there's some arguments to be made for having wolves around. The problem is that wolves kill a lot of cattle, which is fine, I guess, unless you're a cattle rancher. It becomes an issue when you start losing, you know, calves that you're counting on taking to market next year to wolves just because somebody wants to bring the wolves back. And I'm just going to tell what I feel is the truth. And I hope I'm not going to point anybody out in particular because I don't know anybody. But I can tell you this. If you have a predator that is financially harming your ability to provide for your family, that predator's going to go away. It's going to go away one way or another. And probably it's going to go away in a way that feds aren't going to find it. Because they are looking for it. Feds are looking to... I love that. That really made me laugh. Maybe I'll explain that sometime, but I'm not going to right now. That was funny. Okay. So the feds are looking for, you know, the feds are looking for people who, no, I'm not. What I did was I set 3 timers, and at the end of each timer, I had it play a chime to, you know, some kind of a sound, something to, just to tell me to move on. And it's kind of funny because that was supposed to lead into the final segment, which is fine. We're almost there. But anyway, so the whole wolf thing. So here's the deal. Yeah, environmentalists are going to tell the feds that somebody's killing wolves because somebody's going to kill wolves. You know, and they put these tracking collars on certain wolves to see where they're moving, and then when that tracking collar quits moving, they come looking for the collar. You know, if it's on your property and you're a cattle rancher, they're going to find out where they're going to look for that. They're not going to look for the collar, they want the carcass, and they're going to want to know where it is. And trust me, I've seen and heard this go on here in Oregon. But what I was saying, if you have a predator that's interfering with your ability to provide for your own family, that predator's going to disappear. And you can bet that cattle ranchers will know how to make that carcass disappear. You might find the collar somewhere eventually. You may not. But, yeah. And, I mean, I can hardly blame them. You know, for years, we didn't have wolves. And we still had predation of some kind because cougars, bobcats, coyotes, etc. You know, some animals. Did I say cougar? I said cougars, yeah. You know, they'll take a calf once in a while. But, right. But anyway, then, you know, trying to bring the wolves back, and now they hunt in packs and they kill. And sometimes they kill a bunch of animals and don't even eat them all. And I've seen that where they've killed, you know, 10 or 15 calves in a night, but they ate one, you know. So why did they kill them all? I don't know. It's kind of like that shark feeding frenzy, I have a feeling. But anyway, while I was talking about the kids going and gathering food, I was kind of also thinking about the trucker convoy and some of the stuff that has gone on this past week. Like, it seems to me that, and, you know, I didn't look into this any deeper. I didn't want to get caught up into some of the controversy that seemed to be going on, because my feeling is that the convoy truckers in Canada are still doing the right thing, and they're putting pressure on the right people. And it seems like maybe I seem to feel like some political entity has injected themselves as the as the leaders of the group or the organizers of the convoy, when really they had nothing to do with it. That's kind of just my take on what's going on, which is really sad, because the actual convoy organizers and the people involved in that convoy are doing the right thing for the right reason, I think, and they're putting the right kind of pressure where that pressure belongs. When I was talking earlier about the Super Bowl and interfering with the Super Bowl, that's not going to be the right kind of pressure to bring about the change you want, because you may incite more people to anger, but it might be anger at you for interfering with the Super Bowl instead of anger at the politicians who planned this whole thing out and, you know, have carried it on through both parties, Republican and Democratic parties, both had leadership during this pandemic, and they both did the exact same thing. So that's where we need to direct our anger and call for change, is at those people. And I think that the Canadian convoy truckers are doing that very thing. Now, I went to look for an update today, and I didn't see a live update, which I really, it seemed like something was going to go on this weekend. Now, the last thing I saw was that the police, which really kind of makes me wonder which police, are trying to clear that bridge that has kind of traffic shut down. Because, I mean, if it's an international bridge, you know, it's going to have to be Canadian cops on one side and American cops on the other side. And, you know, I'm really hoping that they can't do anything, can't move them. You know, I hope it's like impossible, and I don't want anybody getting hurt. Definitely, I don't want any, you know, violence, but who knows? You have no idea what people are capable of when they just want to remain in power and not take any responsibility for what they've done. But what I was thinking of to kind of pull this idea together with the kids gathering food is, so GoFundMe actually tried to interfere with the, and I think did block the money from that was donated to support the convoy truckers. GoFundMe, you know, tried to block their funds and did block their funds. And I think even went as far as to say that they were going to do something else with that money, like donate it to charities that they believed in, which I think is absolutely, you know, robbery. But then, I forget the name of the other one. Give, Send, Go also kind of set up. And, you know, there was another, like, millions of dollars of donations, you know, set up for the convoy truckers to support them in their effort, which means that not only were the convoy truckers doing the right thing, but everybody or a ton of people who wanted to support that movement sent money in. I mean, $8 to $10 million between GoFundMe and Give, Send, Go was donated, you know, to this trucker convoy. But what happened was, as you know, that technology failed in one way or another. And I'm not saying that the technology, like, you know, it quit working. The technology was usurped on one side by GoFundMe, who just decided, no, we're not going to pass on that money because we don't believe in that movement.
Yeah, well, who are you? GoFundMe. I hope nobody ever uses GoFundMe again. Unfortunately, people will. And you know, GoFundMe does take like 15% or something of whatever is donated for their own purpose. You know, it's basically just pure profit for them. So don't use GoFundMe in the future for anything. But the point is that somebody, you know, could interfere with money. Somebody could interfere with your money at this point. So you don't have to be part of the convoy. You can just be a dude doing a show out of his home studio in Sheridan, Oregon, and you could say the wrong thing, and somebody just says, oh, we're not going to give you any access to your bank account anymore. So then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Oh, GoFundMe takes 30%, really? Wow. Yikes. Wow, 30%, one-third roughly, of what is donated to GoFundMe they take. So, I mean, they're just ripping people off anyway. I'm sure their expenses are so high that they need to take 30%. But getting back to it, so let's say you have people in your life, whether they are your friends or not. If they just don't like what you're saying, this is the world we live in. If they just don't like what you're saying right now, today, or whatever day, they can just turn you in to whomever. What is that noise I hear? Oh. Maybe it's just me. Maybe something's getting fed into my microphones. Not sure. I'm going to turn my own mic down and see. Oh, yeah. Now I don't hear a thing. So I won't hear the next time a chime comes up either, which we're kind of getting toward the end, so that's okay. But anyway, so, you know, my point was, so if your money gets frozen, like I know a lot of you guys are way ahead of the game. Like you have alternative valuables that you can use to exchange for things you need. But I think it was kind of a good lesson for us to kind of put together the gathering food at the beach with having your funds frozen. Because I think that's what the government's trying to do right now with everybody who opposes their view, right? And it's not just, you know, it's not just the Democrats and it's not just the Republicans. Basically, everybody in the government is all on the same page in the long run. You know, the way to stop certain things is just to freeze the funds. Because it was a Canadian government that stepped in to interfere with the Give, Send, Go money. And luckily, Give, Send, Go said, Canada, not sure who you think you are, but we're a U.S. corporation and you're not going to interfere with our ability to do business. Now, maybe Canada can prevent the money from actually going across the border in some way and reaching those guys. But at least the money's there and it's not being, you know, somebody on the U.S. side could get the money and take it to the truckers into Canada. And that's kind of something else I was thinking about, too, is, you know, so if technology fails, which, like I said, in this case, it wasn't really technology. It was people interfering. It was politicians interfering. Even GoFundMe just having their own censorship of what they believe in. They should have kind of stated that on their website, too. Hey, if you're donating money to something that we don't support, we're just going to take your money. Hey, that would be nice, GoFundMe. How about let's do that? How about let's put that on our website? Just donate at your own caution, because if we don't like what you're donating to, we're going to take your money. And we're going to give it to, you know, charities that we believe in. Or we're going to take 60% instead of 30. I don't know. But what I was thinking is, okay, so let's say the funds are not, you can't get them to these truckers. Thank God the truckers use CB radios. I think I was saying in my Wednesday night show, because CB radios, you can't really interfere with them. Yeah, you can throw up a radio jammer and jam all radio signals in the vicinity. I don't know how long you could continue to carry that on. But, you know, going back to not having these funds electronically available and, you know, keeping these guys from getting food and gas and, you know, gas, of course, diesel, warmth, you know, comforts of home. How would they go about doing that? You would really kind of have to go back to old school. You're going to have people like get on their horses and, you know, drive the wagon into town and deliver, you know, deliver gas, deliver diesel, deliver food, deliver money, you know, go back to the old, you know, stagecoach days, Wells Fargo, you know, with a team of horses and a guy riding shotgun, literally riding shotgun to deliver the money to the truckers. But they have such a great network that doesn't actually depend on technology. So even if they shut down the cell phone service in the local vicinity, or they jam the internet or shut down the internet, these guys are still able to communicate. And some of it may have to be, you know, by written means, you know, or maybe homing pigeon or something to, you know, to pass messages on. That's a huge bunch of people who are gathered together, and another huge bunch of people who are standing by making donations. But it really kind of just made me think, you know, how far are any one of us from having our funds shut off? Like, we're, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, most of my banking is electronic, you know, most, and, you know, and in the beginning, I don't know about you guys, probably you were smarter than me. I remember having some reservation about going to the electronic banking thing. But I'll be honest with you, I kind of sucked at writing checks, like just, and putting them in the mail or wherever they had to go. Like, it was always last minute to me. So this electronic thing, and that's probably how it was sold. It's like, hey, you'll be able to pay your bill instantly, which is BS, by the way. I mean, sometimes, like, we set up a lot of things to pay automatically. And you would think if you say pay it on the 18th, that beep, 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 you know, done, it would be electronically done. Oh, hell no. Sometimes it takes days for those things to, you know, finish transferring. And I have no idea why. Still can't figure it out. In this day and age where everything's just so fast electronically, you would think, you know, those things would happen. I mean, and I'm not saying I have late fees or anything like that. Trust me, don't. Haven't forever. But it does still suck that you can't just like hit a button to pay something and have it paid, which, you know, is kind of how this whole thing was sold in the first place. But it turns out it's not that fast. And look what happened. It's like, so now that we're digital and some jackass has the button to just turn the switch off on your funds, well, that wasn't really what I bargained for. But it kind of reminds me of the internet. You know, in the beginning, the internet, you know, it was supposed to be this great thing where we kind of exchange information, and the flow of information would be so much faster, and would bring, you know, different parts of the world together so that we could all, sir, may I have another, so that we all could all collaborate on ideas and work together for world peace. And that's not it at all. Because if people try to get together and solve the world's problem and have world peace, well, then we shut down communication so that you can't do that, because we will not have world peace. Yeah, world peace. Good one, Rob Works. That was funny. Oh, anyway, yeah, I hope something happens here in the United States, too. I really do. I'm still sitting here waiting for something to happen. I'm not ready to leave my seat yet, although I did tell everybody at work, I said, you know, in the next week or two, I may be gone to D.C., so we'll see. we'll see what's going on here in the United States. I hope everything starts getting back to normal. I do want to just make this one. I'm probably going to say this for the next 9 months. Wait, nine? Maybe 8 months. If you vote, stop it. It has not done any good for my entire life, and probably in yours either. So just stop. Neither one of these parties deserve to be voted for. I don't care who they are. DeSantis, don't care. You know, you're not going to save anything. Nothing's going to change. Good God. This number kind of blew me away, and I can't even remember it right now, but I was reading this morning about some whatever bill. Oh, no, it was an executive order, and I don't even know what it was about. And it was executive order number 12,333. And I was like, are you kidding me? These people exist only to create more restrictions. Like, you can't say, I've said it before, and I'm not going to say it, you can't create a new law or regulation and say that you're creating more freedom, because it's exactly the opposite of what you're doing. If I had to say to vote for somebody, it would be like, I don't know. I don't even know. Maybe libertarians. It seems like Rand Paul's the only reasonable guy in the entire government. And he still has to vote one way or another sometimes, I think. I don't actually follow him because he's not in my state, unfortunately. But anyway, yeah, stop voting. Just stop wasting your time. None of them are worth it. And I know there's people who say, oh, if you don't vote, you can't complain. Yeah, you can. Complain just like you always complain. It's not going to stop you. But continue to support these people is absolutely just ridiculous. Waste of time. It's not going to achieve anything. You know, that whole world is over with. All they want to do is make more laws, create more restrictions, and absolutely take more and more freedoms away. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Redneck Dennis. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm going to figure out something with the timer so they don't interfere so much. But it was entertaining to me anyway. I'll see you guys Wednesday. Hopefully there's a show tomorrow morning, and Hal Anthony, there's a music show tomorrow morning. And the game. Come on, RobWorks, put it in the chat so I see it. It's a trivia game is what it is. But a trivia game and music hopefully tomorrow. And then Hal Anthony, you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the game if you're going to enjoy it. I'm going to, and I'll see you guys Wednesday night. Thanks.